everybody. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the How He Sees Me podcast. I am your host, Sharon, and I have some guests here today with me, and we are going to dig into mental health and identity. Today, I have with me Pastor Mary again in the house.
Hello. Happy to be here.
And we have Chanel in the house.
Hello.
So before we even get started, I'm going to put this disclaimer out there. We are not medical professionals. We do not claim to be. So please don't take this information and take it to your doctors and say, there were some doctors on this How You See Me podcast, because we're not doctors. But we are coming from our experience with what we share with you today, and also biblical foundation, of course. So Chanel, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself for the people, because I don't think the people know your background.
Okay. My name is Chanel Harris, and I am a licensed social worker here in the state of Ohio, and I have an extensive amount of experience working with teens, adolescents, groups, and families with mental health, and also in the social work realm and healthcare field.
Okay, awesome. Healthcare field. Cool, cool. And then, of course, we know who Pastor Mary is, but Pastor Mary has a little bit of experience in working with teens. Go ahead, Pastor Mary.
Yeah, I had the privilege of, actually, there was a certain generation. I started with them as a daycare administrator and kind of watched them grow up and became their youth pastor. So it's kind of like those Gen Zs right now. Mm. I was involved with them. They're in their 20s now. But yeah, I loved being a youth pastor. Mm. It was super fun. It wore me out, but it was really fun.
I can imagine.
definitely will.
How long did you work with the youth as a youth pastor?
It was probably around 5 or 6 years.
Oh, wow.
I would think.
Wow, yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah. A lot of overnight retreats, like what Jeremiah is doing this weekend. Those overnight lock-ins. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's going to take a whole lot of strength and patience and understanding and, yeah, all of that.
That is true.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and get into this, right? Okay, so I always start with a couple of scriptures. And Psalm 139 is my... That's my jam right there. So I want to go ahead and start with Psalm 139 and 16 that says, your eyes have seen my unformed, and I'm reading from Amplified, by the way. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were appointed for me, when as yet there was not one of them even taking shape. And then I'm also going to read John 16 and 33 that says, I have told you these things so that that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. What do you guys think about those? That is good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. When just hearing the word peace, I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just that word. Like, I guess that's always something that we're striving for, right?
Mm-hmm. And I will even add the scripture, 1 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love, peace, and of a sound mind.
Yeah,
and
I did not
fully understand what that scripture meant until I got like deep into the field and seeing how some people just do not have peace, and how mental health, like specific diagnosis, take over like your thought process, your actions, your body, and things like that. And I thank God for my sound mind and my peace.
Amen.
Daily.
Amen. Yeah.
Daily. Because even with stress and just life and how it's lifing,
right.
It can become overwhelming and people lose it.
Yeah, that is so true. It's so funny that you say that, because even before I knew that scripture, I would always pray and ask God to keep my mind. Like, I felt like that was something that was so easy to just be taken away, like my mental ability to life. You know what I mean? So I always prayed that. It's like he'd already put something inside of me that made me know that I needed to pray that, ask him for that every single day, and was so thankful when I woke up in my right mind. Crazy, right?
A real thing.
So let's talk about this. So I just want to ask, just for, so we're talking about mental health and identity, right? And so we want to know, like, what is the definition of mental illness and mental health? Like, define it. Because people always say, it's mental health day. Well, what is mental health day? Or I'm dealing with mental illness. Well, what is mental illness? So let's define that. Chanel, what you got for us?
So I have, I believe, in my opinion, that mental illness is the symptoms that an individual exhibits as a result of mental health. Mental health, I would say, is the diagnosis an individual is given, such as anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. Those are my thoughts.
Okay. That sounds about right. I mean, I think it does. Because mm-hmm. When you think about it, the symptoms, so you're talking about, so your mental is, and I wish I had Dr. Caroline Leaf here today, because I'm like, right? Your mental, you think about your mental. But the symptoms that people use and say, hey, that is your illness, I think is crazy. Because it's like, you were just talking about before we even started, you don't get enough sleep, so that can cause some things. Or right. You're not eating the right thing, so that mm-hmm. can cause some things. But you take it and you say, that symptom is your illness, so now I'm diagnosing you.
Mm. Right. When if you get enough sleep, mm-hmm. you wake up refreshed, you're not irritable, so is that... Do I have this diagnosis mm-hmm. because now I'm refreshed and I got some sleep? Just like if my nose is running and I'm coughing, I have a cold. That doesn't necessarily mean that I have, you'll diagnose me with cancer mm-hmm. or something like right. that, yeah, if that right. makes sense.
It does make sense. When I think of mental illness, I think of the way that we were created. Mm-hmm. So if you think about, we were created body, soul, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And in your soul are your mind, will, and emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the mental illness part or the mental health part really comes into that part of us that who was created by God mm-hmm. in our mind that has gone off kilter mm-hmm. or has been affected by sin. You know, it's mm-hmm. really been affected by sin. And it might be our fault or it might not be our fault. Mm-hmm. But I love the way that you talked about diagnosis being the symptom and not like, it's not your identity. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I was right. hearing you
yes.
say. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have a cold, but I'm not a cold.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think mental illness, even more than even physical illness, mm-hmm. it becomes your identity so much faster. Mm-hmm. It's really sad.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the myths regarding mental illness? Because I think that kind of led into that a little bit. What are some of the myths regarding mental illness?
One that really... It really grinds my gears. It's calling people crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, he crazy. She crazy. Yeah. She's talking to herself. He's talking to herself. So that stigma piece right there, I correct it every time I hear it because they're not crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I talk to God out loud and pray out loud mm-hmm. all the time, mm-hmm. especially when I'm frustrated. Mm-hmm. So does that make me schizophrenic right. or bipolar because mm-hmm. I'm praying out loud or talking out loud? Mm-hmm. No. So that's one. Another myth is that you'll be on medication for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. That's how some people or some individuals do not want to take the medication mm-hmm. that could possibly help them mm-hmm. because they feel they have to stay on it for the rest of their life, and you do not.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So yesterday I was talking to Kendall, and we talked about she's running for Senate in her school. And one of the things that I'm noticing that they're really talking about in school now, and it may not just be her school, but the mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids themselves are bringing it up. And she said, we just want a mental health day. And I'm like, huh, okay, well, what does that mean to you to have a mental health day? Mm-hmm. And for them, they said, we feel like they are taking everything away from us and stressing us out because they pile so much on us every single day and don't give us a minute to breathe. And I'm like, that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real thing. And it makes me proud of children who advocate for themselves like that. It's mm-hmm. like, you are not about to stress me out. You're not going to wipe me out. You're not going to pile so much on me. I know my limits. So for me, that's like, okay, you're taking control and you're knowing how much you can take and handle. And you're like, nobody is going to, she said, they push so much on them. They give them these deadlines. They don't give them time to finish it. And it sort of makes me think about everything that we're talking about, even with your classes, Pastor Mary, mm-hmm. or the book that you share with me, the Hurry book mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's like, just take your time. You know, you can really stress someone out with so much that you pile on to them. Mm-hmm. And if you're not advocating for yourself, that can really hurt you mentally.
Oh yeah. I used to work on the child and adolescent psychiatric unit at Rainbow Babies and Children Hospital, and we had so many children come in there because they were stressed out, because not only do the teachers pile so much work on them and set these unrealistic deadlines, yeah, and expectations, mm-hmm, for these students. And when they don't meet them, because they also have their parents, like, you need to get this done, mm-hmm, putting this pressure on them to be, mm-hmm, a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And then when they get older, they still have this, I have to do everything perfect to please my parents, to be, mm, successful, and, yeah, things like that. And they were so overwhelmed. Yeah. Then you have this depression kick in, and now they having these suicidal thoughts, mm-hmm, because it's like, I can't meet these expectations of my parents who expect all these things of me, and my teachers who is giving me all this work. It's like, wait a minute. And they want to, the students, these teens, they want to do well, mm-hmm, but it's a lot.
It's a lot. But look where that came from though. So it's like a domino effect. Mm. You did this, and so then this happened, and then that happened, and that happened, and now I'm depressed, and, mm-hmm, now I'm having suicidal thoughts. And so now you don't see all that happened before that. You're just like, I'm taking you to a psychiatrist because now you're having these suicidal thoughts, and now they're prescribing you all this medicine. And all you had to do is get to the root or to the beginning of what caused that first, because you just, mm-hmm, put this expectation on me that's unrealistic. Yeah. And now I don't know how to communicate that and tell you that's what that is. And so now you're in a whole world of other stuff, because now I'm on this medicine that has these crazy side effects. Because guess what? Now this depression medicine, they're saying this causes this. Oh, depression medicine makes you want to kill yourself. It's right. Like all this other stuff. And it's like all you had to do is talk about the expectations that were put on me in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And now we don't need to do all of that.
Yeah, that's
interesting, right?
Very interesting.
And then they send the child, or they take their kid to a psychiatrist or a therapist, and the child's shut down because they don't want to talk, because I don't want to talk to this person, because my parent is not even listening to me when I say I'm overwhelmed. So now you, mm-hmm, want me to talk to this? I don't want to talk to them. I want to talk to my mom. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to my dad. I want to talk to someone who knows me.
Yeah.
Instead of sending me to another person to say, hey, talk about this. And then they expect a therapist to fix their child.
Yeah.
I'm just speaking from experience as being a therapist myself.
Yeah. I don't know that parents are really armed to handle some of the situations that are out there, because they weren't taught, you know?
I agree.
That,
yeah,
is true.
And it's, yeah, hard to just learn something that you don't even know you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure parents, even if they knew they didn't know, they would go search out, because, mm-hmm, they love their children,
right,
you know. But like, we just, as a society in our culture, we don't discipline our mind.
Mm.
Like, we eat disciplined. We know that we're supposed to eat disciplined, even though, hello, I don't do that very well. But we don't also don't discipline our mind or the space in our mind.
Yeah.
You know, so like, kids have all this homework, but there's only a certain amount of time you have, mm-hmm, you know, or mental capacity you have. And so they have all these other things that they're trying to put in their life too.
Yeah.
And I think that we've got to be better as a culture of disciplining our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, what are we allowing in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are our limits?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And not just as parents, I'm speaking for myself, not talking about anybody else, but if you can relate, just say it's me too. But we take on so much,
mm-hmm,
and we expect our kids to be able to do the same thing. And I think right now we have a group of kids that are just like, I'm not doing that. I'm, mm-hmm, not doing that to myself. And so I remember, I don't know if you remember Pastor Mary. Pastor Mary, you have been like so instrumental, whether you know it or not, in my life, mm-hmm, and in Kendall's life since I met you.
Thank you.
And so I remember reaching out to you because I'm about to get teary. Yeah, this is crazy. I found a homework sheet in Kendall's,
mm-hmm,
room,
mm-hmm,
and she wrote something on there that really just said, you know, I'm not good enough. I need to do better, basically, you know, like, mm, and it was like, it wasn't even like it was bad. It was like, what? Why did she write that about herself?
Mm.
But it was me having to go back and evaluate what did I do to make her feel like this? And I remember calling Pastor Mary, like, what do I do about this? And I think you suggested like me taking her out and just spending some time with her without homework. We just talk, and we went and we talked, and she told me, remember you said to me that I have to do this, this, and that. My grades need to be better because of this, this, and that. And I put that pressure on her unknowingly because I just figured I wanted her to be better than me in everything. Like, I just wanted her to do better. And I know her potential. And I'm just like, no, she's going to be the straight A student because she always has been. Mm-hmm. And so, like, me putting that pressure, as parents, we put that pressure on our kids. Yeah. It's just the reality. We do.
Even as adults.
Mm-hmm. As an adult daughter,
I still get the pressure.
The pressure, yeah.
Because if my mom tell me again, so when are you going to get your PhD? I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm done with school. School is hard.
Yeah, school is very hard.
It is hard.
But I think we just see so much in our kids, and we're like, oh, they're so great, and they're going to do this. They're going to do great things. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing for me was that I don't want her to struggle like I did. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I want her to just do this because I see the potential, and I know she can do great things. But I had to realize it's not helping her, it's hurting her.
Yeah.
When I saw that on her paper, I cried because I'm like, why is she so hard on herself? She's so great. Like that little, I think it just said like, I don't even remember what it said, but it wasn't a letter grade. It was just like proficient, developing, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even bad. It was just like, I think it was in that middle. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she wrote, not good enough, do better. And I'm like, and immediately, like, I'm texting Pastor Mary. I'm calling Pastor Mary, like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Like, why? So it's, parenting doesn't come with a handbook. It's hard. But when you see something like that, it breaks your heart because you're like, and I believe things like that mentally can make kids just, when you feel like you're not good enough, I believe that's mental health. That's mental.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure.
The insecurity.
For sure. Yeah, it leads to wrong belief about ourselves, and then it just spirals. You know, it can get worse and worse. It's definitely something that parents, when they find out, they can do something about. I remember just thinking back of how my parents parented me, and I always relied on my dad to give me a bigger perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, even as an adult, like you said, you know, like as an adult, there was a time where he was like, you need to do this job because we need an administrator. And I thought, I can't do that. And I was stressed out, and I was like just feeling horrible about myself because I was in a bad relationship then at that time as well. And he said, no, you can do that. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, come up here. Let me show you what I see, you know, and what I see is you are capable and you are able to do it. And that was really all I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. It was like, oh, if my dad thinks I can do it, then I can do it.
Then I can do it. Yeah. That is so true. How do you find a balance in that, though, as a parent? Like, you're saying, I'm not going to push you to do something that, you know, you can't handle right now, but I want to push you to show you what I see. Like, you are so capable of that. So how do you find, like, that in between?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
So I'm not a biological parent, and I read this some time ago, like around Mother's Day. It was like in a social work group. It's like not a biological. I didn't carry children in my womb, but I carry them in my heart.
Definitely.
And that is so true because
that's
every
good.
Kid, every kid, I just, it's like a whole space. So I was like, if I ever get a house, I already know.
Somebody's going
to
be,
yes. I always wanted to have like an orphanage because I was like, so many kids need love. Like,
they do. Yeah.
And I just love so hard.
Yeah.
Like, my babies get attached. See, my babies, they get attached and they don't want to let go. But, I mean, to find that balance, I guess everyone has options.
Mm-hmm.
They have choices. And I think allowing those choices, as your, I'm going to speak, for example, my mother.
Shout out to Helen Love.
We love
she
Helen.
Is literally, literally my best friend.
Mm.
We talk all day, every day. We hang out. Like, she's literally my best friend. Yeah. And sometimes I'd be like, Ma, cut it. And she's like, you're going to be a co-psychiatrist and you could do this and you can do that. And I get it. But allowing me that choice to pursue that or not, that's her goal for me.
Yeah.
That may not be my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we, children, I don't believe that they feel like they have a choice or an option.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. I guess like you can tell them like, I see you can do great things. You would be excellent at this. You would be a great administrator. You mm-hmm. can do this. You can do that. Thank you for that. But allowing them mm-hmm. to make that choice for themselves. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't do what you want, yeah. love it anyway. Yeah. Yeah. You know, support what they do. That's good. Anyway.
Yeah. That's good.
That is really good. Mm-hmm. That is really good.
Yeah. Even we sat down and talked recently, and you made me realize that is mm-hmm. something that we were talking about then. And it was like, you give them the truth, mm-hmm. but you allow them to make that decision. Mm-hmm. But you're telling them, you're giving them the truth, you're giving them the foundation of whatever that thing looks like, but you are allowing them to decide based off of what they mm-hmm. now know mm-hmm. that making that decision. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good. So does knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, does that help when struggling with mental illness?
For sure. Mm-hmm. I'll say yes because I'll give up my own personal example. So when I was in high school, there was something called the Ohio graduation test, mm-hmm. and you had to pass all 5 parts in order to receive your high school diploma. Mm-hmm. Well, come 12th grade, I did not pass all 5 parts, and I was devastated. I was like, skip this. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing this. I'm dropping out. I'm be a low life. Kid you not. I was like, I'm gonna just work this full-time job and that's it. Because that's what I thought. I was like, I thought I was not good enough. I thought I was not smart enough. And my mom, of course, told y'all she's my best friend, so she was going to war. She called down to the Board of Education, and it was like a matter of like points, like within 5 points that I did not pass. So I went to summer school. I went to Saturday school. I was enrolled in Cuyahoga Community College, paid out of pocket. We all know you cannot enroll in college without a high school diploma. Mm. Whole time it said high school diploma. So that's how I know God was real. Wow. In this mess, like, this was his plan all day. That's so awesome. My mom drew down money from her 401k. Like, we made it happen. So I was still taking the Ohio graduation test. Like, now I'm in here with these kids. I'm 19 years old. I'm in college and I'm working. Mm-hmm. And I'm in here with these kids. So anyways, I finally passed. And so I didn't let that stop me. Mm-hmm. I kept going. Although I did have a moment of depression. I had family encouraging me, friends encouraging me, and I was snapping on them. My one friend was like, it'll be okay. And I was like, you don't know how I feel. You pass all 5 parts. Mm-hmm. You're going to graduate. I didn't go to prom. I didn't do any of that mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I felt like that was a time to celebrate. And what was I celebrating? I didn't reach the main goal, which was my high school mm-hmm. diploma. So we did that. And then everyone's encouraged me. It was not until I got into my Bible for myself mm-hmm. and stumbled upon Jeremiah 29:11.
Come on now.
And when I tell you that scripture is tattooed on my soul, mm-hmm. like, I apply it to everything because I was down on myself. But if God knows the plans that he has for us, who am I to tell myself I'm a low life?
That's right.
And I'm going to drop out and I'm not going to do this? Because I went on from Tri-C, Cuyahoga Community College, to Ursuline College, and I did well at Ursuline. Mm. Ursuline was not a walk in the park. Mm-hmm. It was not a piece of cake, but it was, I had a great experience there. I was dropping out every fall semester because I was like, this is hard. I'm not doing it anymore. But every time I would do that, I would make the dean's list. And then I had all these awards. That's awesome. And I was like, God, what? What is going on here? But he just that scripture, it wasn't until, like, everyone was encouraging me. Like, mm-hmm. my old church was praying for me and everything because they knew that this thing had devastated me. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until I got into my Bible for myself and saw myself in that scripture. Like, God has a plan. Mm-hmm. And this is, failure is not it. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. God doesn't fail. I am his child. He has a plan for me. The plan will not fail.
Yeah.
So let me just tighten up my bootstraps, hit the pavement, keep it going. It wasn't easy, but I did it. Mm-hmm. Even when I was going throughout my college career, college journey, it wasn't easy, but I did it. Mm-hmm. So after graduating from Ursuline, I even received this Social Work Student of the Year award at Ursuline.
That's amazing.
So going on from there and then going.
Smarty pants.
So I guess that's why my mother thinks, like, oh, that PhD would be nothing to you.
And right.
No, thank you. But I would definitely say yes. I would say yes because it wasn't, again, and I'll say it a million times. Mm-hmm. And so I got into my word for myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I know my mom was encouraging me and, you know, telling me things and providing me with scripture. And I know my mother would not steer me wrong or tell me anything wrong. But it wasn't until I got in there for myself to see, like, for myself. Like, that's why we have to have a relationship with Jesus and know him for ourselves.
Right. Yeah. It's that 18-inch journey again. Mm-hmm. It has to move from your head to your heart. Mm-hmm. And until it moves to your heart, like, it's just something your mom's telling you. It's just something your dad's telling you, which is good.
Yeah.
But it's not real until it's in your heart. That's awesome.
That is so true.
Good testimony.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So parents who may have kids that are struggling with this area, what can they tell? What kind of information or what advice can they give? Or what support can they give to their teen? What advice do you have for parents?
I would definitely say, as I mentioned before, being a listening ear, and even if it's not their parent, a safe person. Mm-hmm. I know some of the children that I've worked with, I'm not their parent, but they would definitely come to me. Mm-hmm. I was working at a day treatment center where students will come and receive like their educational credits and also mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. And if it was a fire in that building, I was dying first. Mm-hmm. I literally had kids laid. They would come sit by my desk and just fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And I mean, like, literally, like, they would fight over who's sitting by my desk. And I'm like, listen, everyone go away. I could not move. And they just couldn't understand why. And I would come in so jolly every morning. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, Miss Harris, you need to chill because why are you that happy? I was like, it's a good morning. And that was a joy that they have never seen before. Like, why is this lady so happy? Like, that little boy just cussed you out. Like, why are you so happy? And giving him a hug. Because that's what Jesus does. He shows love. Yeah. And when I would talk about God and talk about Jesus to them, they'd be like, what church you go to? And sometimes they would come with me because their parents trusted me with them. And my one old student, she would say, her girl was like, she doesn't like anyone. I can't believe you. I was like, watch this. And to this day, her grandmother was like, I can't believe she like you. Believe it. But I would just say, so I said all that to say, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be the parent, but at least a safe person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would say listening, because oftentimes teens, adolescents, they don't feel like anyone is listening to them because adults are so busy with life. If I'm a single parent and I have four children and I have to work and I have to provide, I may be tired at night when my 12-year-old come in my room and say, hey, this is what happened at school. I'm being bullied and I fall asleep, or I'm irritable because I'd have been at work all day dealing with people or doing whatever they have to do and dismiss the kid.
Yeah.
And now they're feeling rejected. Mm-hmm. No one cares. Mm-hmm. And may even take matters into their own hands, whatever that may look like.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say start by being a listening ear, listening to them. Check in. How was your day?
Yeah.
Tell me something new, you know, and it doesn't have to, if you don't have time, shoot them a text message.
Yeah, that's easy.
Shoot them a text message. So
from a pastoral role, I would say, just as we, like I said before, I hinted to before, we teach parents, or parents know intrinsically that they're supposed to physically take care of their children. They know, especially if they believe in Jesus, that they're supposed to spiritually take care of their children. But soulically, we forget sometimes, you know, that their mind, will, and emotions are our responsibility.
Yeah.
And so we need to manage that for them. And as they get older, hand that off to them. And so I always think back about with my boys when they were teenagers, and you guys know them now, but they would just push me so hard to stay up all night and play video games. Annoying, you know? And I would go to bed and I'd wake up and they'd still be up. And I'm like, what in the world? And they would want to do that almost every single weekend. But what would happen is they would sleep all day. They would get depressed. They would get in trouble. They would, you know, just be grouchy and all of this other stuff. Well, years and years later, I see in them, and sorry, Dominic and Dion, don't get mad at me, but those tendencies to fall back into that, and what it does, immediate depression, immediate, like just a disgust. Their wives are mad at them. Their kids don't have time with them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's that soul care that we have to hand off in a really healthy way to our teenagers, because if we don't, like, there's major consequences to bad soul care.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm learning so much too, just from like the class that we're taking with you, or just conversations that I have with you, or even some conversations that I have with you too, Chanel. And for me, the biggest thing is teaching Kendall that it's okay to unplug.
Yeah,
like, she believes that if she misses a day in school, woo, everything is gonna fall apart. And I'm like, no, that's not true. But teaching her that it's okay to unplug. And we have to have a plan in place as well. Like, kids need to know, and that comes with soul care. Like, we're going to do this when we wake up in the morning, making sure that this, you know, if that's taking a moment to just get up and just sit there for a moment and just talk to Jesus, you know, before you do anything, you know, just talking to Jesus, your pattern before you go to bed at night, you know, the things that you eat in the morning, like, just having a routine in place that helps with that too, because when you're all out of routine or all out of whack, then you just feel like everything is falling apart. So I think that goes along with soul care, just taking care of all of that for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Because now the theme is self-care, but we don't talk about soul care.
Right. We don't talk about soul care. Where did I just hear that at? I just heard that, something I read. Is that what we just read? I can't remember. Something I read. But it was like, everybody's talking about self-care, but nobody's talking about soul care. Mm-hmm. That's important. So I love that, soul care.
Yeah.
Taking care of the soul. Okay, so what's your response to someone who may say that true Christians don't struggle with mental health?
I would say, let's read the Bible.
And we can start there.
Right. Yeah,
David. I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah. I just go all the way down the line for that.
Yep. Yeah. It's definitely in our Bible, for sure. And true Christians are also true humans. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people, some individuals like to separate it, but they're still, a Christian is a human. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what I have run into, Christians who have experience with mental health would say, I'm not taking those medications. I'm just going to let God heal me. Mm. Yes, let God heal you. But God also gave the doctors wisdom to create these medications. And again, you don't have to be on these medications your entire life. But what, and studies have shown, with medication and therapy, you don't have to be on medications forever. But it's okay to take the medication to manage your symptoms. Because if you keep, if for example, if you have experience with anxiety, you're having anxiety attacks, you can't focus to pray. You can't focus to pray. And it's okay to take your anxiety medication and pray. It's okay to have a therapist and pray. I have a therapist myself. And it's okay. And I just read something like, nothing has to be wrong for you to go to therapy. Right. And it doesn't. Yeah, nothing has to be wrong to talk to Jesus or talk to God. Do that daily.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to each his own. They have their own. And, oh, God, it's like a battle. Like, trying to, I mean, you're still a Christian if you take mental health meds. Yeah. You're still a Christian if you have a therapist. Like, it's okay. God gave these individuals, professionals, doctors, the wisdom to assist individuals with these, you know, sort of issues or problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Pastor Mary, have you ever heard anyone say that, you know, I'm not a real Christian if I struggle with mental?
I've heard similar things. I think that you just don't have enough faith. You know, that's if you don't get healed in your body. That's if you, you know, couldn't raise someone from the dead sometimes, you know, that's if you have depression, and that's, it's just not true. You know, it's not true. There's a journey that happens. And as long as that journey is with Jesus, because he might be trying to teach us something, not that he brought it to us, but there's a beauty in it if God's involved, and that beauty might just really need to be here for us and for our children and our grandchildren and the people around us. So I think that he gets the glory out of it.
Yes.
If we just trust him, mm-hmm. you know, and we don't try to beat ourselves up, or we don't judge other people. I mean, mm-hmm. we yes. should be way farther than mm-hmm. that. mm-hmm. We yeah, are. Totally We're way agree. Farther than mm-hmm. that. We don't judge people because they're struggling mentally. We just pray for them. Mm-hmm. We just believe the best and encourage them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we've all dealt with that in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for me, you know, in my adulthood now, it's realizing, because I spent my entire life dealing with, you know, mental things, you know, but from depression, I think I'm outing myself, like things, I've dealt with that stuff my entire life, but I do know that it also came from childhood trauma. Right. Childhood trauma was huge. I suffered a lot. And so not knowing how to navigate through that or heal from that or having the resources, all of that, I struggled mm-hmm. big time. So now as an adult, I know, and I know some people may say that this sounds like a cliche. I don't care. But I know for me, the key to everything is Jesus, period. Mm-hmm. It is. It's me spending time with him. It's me stepping back from the chaotic life that I live, where I'm picking up so many bags and so mm-hmm. many things, and I'm just sitting back and saying, no, I'm spending time with God, because I believe me in my time with him, I can hear from him. Mm-hmm. I know what direction to go. I find peace in that. Like, mm-hmm. I know that so much comes from, everything comes from me spending time with him. Yeah, like I said, I know for some people, they say, oh, that's a cliche. No.
Really not.
Take it from me. It's not. Mm-hmm. No, it works. It helps. I don't want to say it works like it's like this puzzle piece, but no, it's the key. It's the mm-hmm. answer. He is the source.
Yeah.
He truly yes. is the source. Mm-hmm. And I take nothing. I don't take that for granted at all, because for so many years I struggled, and now feeling like, okay, I know now my source is Christ. Now I can teach that to my kid mm-hmm. and I can teach that to Brave Girls, you know, I can share that now, because I know that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So
truth.
Yeah, truth. Exactly. It sets you free, won't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So, Chanel, tell us real quick, what does taking care of your mental health look like? Cause we're going to wrap this thing up, cause I think we have done really good today. So what does taking care of your mental health look like?
It looks like saying no.
Yeah, there's power in the word no.
Yes, it is. Saying no. You don't have to be a superhuman. You don't have to be a perfectionist or do everything right or perfect. Mm-hmm. But saying no, taking a step back and, you know, realizing what you need, what your soul needs, mm-hmm. and just, you know, letting it out.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to keep things inside. Mm-hmm. But if we think about it, the more you hold in, it's like a pop can. Mm-hmm. You shake that pop can up, what's going to happen? Like, you open it, it's going to go all over everywhere.
Yeah.
So get those, whatever it is, emotions, feelings, get them out rather than keep them in. That could look like journaling. That could look like, mm-hmm. you know, coloring if you need to. Just, good. You know, get thinking of something else. That could be talking to someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, getting it out rather than keeping it in. Get your therapist if you need to. Mm-hmm. Talk to a safe person. It doesn't necessarily have to be your parents. It could be your pastor, your youth pastor, someone safe.
A trusted adult. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with a therapist. I think that a lot of us have been raised in households where it's like, you don't talk to a therapist, you talk to your family. Well, there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with a therapist. Do you hear me, people? Nothing wrong.
Another thing that, makes me so angry. What goes on in his house stays in his house.
That is
the biggest. Secrets do not help people. They hurt people.
Yeah, you got to let that thing out. You got to reveal yes. it. You got to take the cloak off of it. Take the darkness off mm-hmm. of it. Like, until mm-hmm. you reveal. Things can't get healed when they're hidden, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Pastor Mary? What does that look like?
For me, very close to Chanel. I think I'd, instead of saying no, I would probably communicate it to be something like embracing my limits because I find things to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying no to anybody but myself, you know, mm-hmm. like, just, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Why are you trying to prove yourself here? Why are you trying to do that additional thing? Why? Because you have 4 hours? Like, just be okay.
Yeah.
Just doing nothing or going for a walk or just mm-hmm. spending time with your family. So embracing limits is huge for me. feeling my feelings.
Oh yeah.
That's huge too. Yeah. Like you would ask me and I'm like, I don't know what I'm feeling. I'm just mad. Like, let me just yell at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this process you mentioned, just some of the growth that I'm going through, I'm learning to feel and recognize those feelings. And then I'm able to vocalize them and I don't have blow ups anymore, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then just physically, it's there's so much linked between physical health and mental health. Like we have hormones and endocrine system and blah, 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 blah. But like if I don't work out or if I eat like crap, I feel like crap in my soul. So I just have to work on that. So that's what I do.
That is so true. With the health, mental, and the health, that's all connected. Like just take women, for example. I don't, you know, we have, you know, our cycles, time of the month. When it's coming, I'm like,
oh my.
I said I could probably get off on a crime that I committed because of that, because I feel like a different person. I'm like, it's like, like, I don't even know who I am. And I'm like, oh, there's something like that has to change, because that's not a good thing.
I know.
Like, so choosing to eat differently, you know, to regulate that, or exercising to regulate that, like different things. Right. Like, we always think it's something deeper than it really is. Drink some more water.
Right. And teaching our young girls to do that, like, to manage that early, so that, you know, they're just not out of control and sad every month.
It's horrible. Because you just think you're this horrible person, and now you want to hide from people because you're like, I don't want to, I'm not even kidding, this is me. I don't want to damage relationships. I will damage relationships.
I'll tell you something really funny, okay? Early in my marriage, my husband would put it on his calendar. So he knew when to expect my, I won't say craziness, my emotions, my heightened
emotions.
That's
a real thing.
It sure is. And the older, from what I'm experiencing, the older you get, it's like the worst is getting.
Yes, because I don't remember being like this younger. Right. I'm like, what is wrong with me? What is going on? Even in the house, poor Kendall's like, yeah, I know what it is. I'm like, just give me a minute. Just give me a minute. Yeah, but recognizing that, and you know, it's not as deep as we think it is sometimes. Sometimes it's just as simple as changing
diet. Eat a salad.
Yeah, go eat a salad. Go do a nice brisk walk. I don't know, but so now we're at a point, Chanel, you haven't done this before, but Pastor Mary has. So we have final thoughts. This is probably my favorite part, because this is the part where you walk away leaving something that you want not just moms, but people raising teens to know, or you want teens to know, from this piece about mental health and identity. So we'll start with Chanel.
All right. Well, I would say, as we enter into these late, cold, and dark, gloomy days, seasonal depression is a real thing. Just a few pointers and things to look for is that, you know, isolation, irritability, change in mood. So things you can do in the house is, you know, watch some comedy, maybe listen to like your favorite song, do like some coloring, some mindfulness things, listen to some relaxing music, just to kind of work on that mood, because it's a real thing. There's nothing wrong, as you stated, with talking to a therapist and identify. I would suggest everyone just kind of take a step back to say, who's that safe person I can talk to if my parent is not available, or if, you know, my safe person isn't available. I know, for example, like, I'll check in with Kendall and just send her a random, hey girl, how you doing? Like, how's your day going? Things like that. But just identifying someone safe that they can confide in, talk to, so that's that they don't feel alone and have to carry that heaviness of whatever it may be.
That's good. That's good. What about you, Pastor Mary?
My final thought, if I was talking to a young girl right here, is just to remind her that it's temporary. You know, she's not going to always feel this way, that there's so many people in her life that love her and that see so much potential and goodness in her. I think we're afraid to tell each other that they're good. You know, I don't know why, but like, there's goodness in you. God put it there, and he loves you, and your life is going to be beautiful, yeah. even if it doesn't feel like that right now.
Yeah, so. That's good. I like that.
That's a strength-based perspective, Pastor Mary. Keep that. I love it. I love like using
that.
It.
Yeah, yeah, I really like that. I think for me is talking to anyone who may be raising a teen would be just truly intentionally invest. I mean, spend time, like mm-hmm. really spend time without anything attached to it, without trying to figure out or find out or anything. Just spend time because there is so much power in just being, just the presence. Mm-hmm. And so just taking that time to just be with your team is powerful. And then the last thing is unplugging. And this is for everybody. Like unplugging is good. And even if it's once a month, just take some time to unplug from the world, from everything. And that is your time. And you don't have to feel guilty about it. It's okay to do that.
Good.
Wonderful. All right, everybody. So I enjoyed having you guys and having this conversation. And, I can't wait to have more conversations like this. This is really good. So I hope that this was helpful to those who are listening. And thank you, wonderful guests, for coming in.
Pastor Mary for
saving the day at the last minute. Awesome. And Chanel for driving all the way here to be a part. So
good.
Thank you so much. And that is a wrap.